Welcome back to the Epicenter, where we're going to continue exploring what it looks like to be the epicenter of the boom.
Welcome back, bro.
Good to see you again in the house.
Hillside, beautiful background. Yep. Thank y'all for joining us again. We're back. Been a while, hasn't it?
It's been a minute. Yeah.
Lots going on. Yep.
God's been taking me through a lot, personally, in our business, in my own personal life, my family, just all kinds of stuff, man.
Yeah.
And I've been in a season of refinement.
There you go.
And man, I don't even remember the last time we had a podcast. But I think since that last one is when I took a 40-day pause,
right?
Took a prophet coming from the Netherlands to let me know that, hey, you need to pause and you need to allow the Lord to work in your life. And man, ever since then, I've been on this crazy, crazy journey. You know all about it.
Oh, yeah.
And man, he's wrecked me of idols. He's really teaching me how to follow. We've just allowed him. He said to me during that pause, the first day I started the pause, he came in and he said, be still and know that I'm God. Place that scripture on my mind. And man, it's just one of those moments where he just had to completely refine me, tear down idols, tear down just all this nasty. And he showed me all about silver. And there's so many scriptures about silver, you know? And so we're going to talk about some of that today. We're going to talk about some things the Lord's been doing in your life and what he's shown you as well.
Oh yeah.
And, we've got some exciting things that have come about. We've launched Boom in Houston.
Right.
They're getting the vibe of all this and excited about it and what this means and just the identity of the business guy. But even more so, I think one of the things that we want to make clear, through this podcast is this isn't just about business.
Right. Right.
This is about the man, the heart. This is about you being shaped and molded by the King of the universe,
right?
So that you can go out on mission. But man, you can't thrive in your business if you've got idols and you've got all these different things that are going on in your life. And I think in our culture, we just don't talk about idols enough, or even recognize. We kind of take this man-made image or whatever, and or this wooden sculpture, you know, we talk about idols. But he's shown me that I had three very specific idols that if you would have told me, I would have been like, absolutely not. Like, money's not an idol to me.
You wouldn't have categorized it as an idol.
Oh, no.
Sure.
I would have been like, oh, no, money, no way money is an idol for me.
Right.
I hate it.
Right.
Like, it just causes arguments. It causes disagreements. It causes problems. It all these things. Like, I'm like, dude, if you just take it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to fight with you over it.
It's a true
point.
But
it wasn't that. It was deeper than that.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, to think back to that initial point with this podcast is really about, I think it's a reflection of Boom and just really, you know, I feel like God is after the businessman. He's after him.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing it. Some of that is the space that we occupy as guys who are like kind of entrepreneur minded, bent that way. We pursue endeavors that involve like raising money, getting money, making money, coaching. I mean, there's coaching and even in what you do.
Oh yeah.
A lot of it. But you know, now we live in this day and age where things are all kind of being dissected and majored in. But really, leadership coaching is what every leader, owner, manager should be doing anyway. But I think that in that, God is pursuing men and women who are you know, in the faith. And also in the marketplace, but there's for the longest time, there's been so much waste of like skill and waste of leadership and waste of just time, really.
Yeah.
Because no one's ever challenged that believer, say, hey, man of God, hey, woman of God, God's calling you.
Yeah.
But not to this pulpit to preach. He's calling you to actually serve the folks you do work with in business world. So I think, man, for me, that's probably one of the biggest inflection points of, I think, this most recent season we've been in is Boom. It's our first podcast of the year, actually.
It is.
2023.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you rewind it.
We did one.
Crazy, right?
I think we did one. It's like almost like the Lord put us on pause.
He did. He did. Yeah.
You know, like mm-hmm. he put me on pause.
Yep.
And then it's almost like he put us on pause, and he's just been doing all this refining.
Totally. Totally. It's healthy. You know, I think, you know, not to go too far into it, but Boom, our financial structure, how we raise money for Boom, that was one of the points of inflection that I kind of mm-hmm. think I saw, because I'm on my side of it, seeing it as a staff guy, looking at, okay, how are we going to fund this thing? And I've got a whole history in almost 15 years in fundraising through church, nonprofit, FCA, mm-hmm. and just my entrepreneur, kind of my wheel, the way it turns. I'm not afraid of fundraising. I'm not afraid of asking. Mm-hmm. Because there's actually an art to asking. It's not just go, hey, knock, knock, give me some money.
Yeah.
Or, you know, give me some money. It's not how it works. There's a relational component. There's a humility component. Yeah. But really, there's a faith component.
Yeah.
And God is saying, are you trusting me in this? Am I really your provider? And are you relying on me to actually fund the thing? Now, that doesn't negate how we funded Boom beforehand, because there's a season for everything. God mm-hmm. had given you increase, and he had told you verbatim. I remember you calling me and saying, man, thus saith the Lord. This is what God said. Yeah. But you'd have heard it so clear that it was like, take that, what was it, 10% of the gross?
No, no, no.
The increase, or what was it again?
It was 100% of the profits.
100% of the profits. I said, that was way off. Lord, Jesus. Yeah. 100% of the profits.
100% of the profits out of Horn Theory Fitness year one.
Right.
And there was a lot, man. And you know, kind of going back, if you watch some of our previous episodes, I go deeper into that early, some of our early episodes, I dive into that and how it all came about. And man, just my church, and I mean, it was wild, but
it's so crazy.
God will send you on a path sometimes to just get something going.
Yeah.
And then he'll turn, and then he'll turn, and then he'll turn.
Oh, dude.
And you evolution. Don't know. Yeah, man.
Because crazy about that, people, y'all don't even know. We can't get into it, but it's like a dial turn from that season of 100% of those proceeds, those profits. Now it's like God, the whole thing's upside down.
And it's upside down.
It's been crazy to watch, too.
Yeah.
If you're out there fundraising, look at this camera. Which one of these is on me? This one or that one? Right into that camera. If you were out there fundraising, seriously, nonprofit venture, faith-based, non-faith. If you got fundraising and you trust God, I dare you to trust God. I dare you to put that thing before God and actually ask him, fund this thing for me, and he'll do it. It's crazy to watch him raise up people and navigate the journey of someone giving you their yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I will support this. And it might take them a month or two to get that money in, but it's just crazy to watch God do that. And boom, what it's shown me personally, and I think it's shown you the same thing, and those who have kind of seen our finance girl in the office, it's shown all of us, hey man, God's actually funding this thing.
Yeah.
It's crazy to watch it happen, but it's supernatural, but that's what he wanted.
Yep.
And that's where
I had to let go, because I believe that God did give me Boom for this season, for this moment.
Right.
To really begin to raise up that business guy to understand their call in the kingdom.
Right.
And, you know, back to my story a little bit, you know, I was just raised in church culture and my friends had heard the voice, like heard God's voice say, I'm calling you into the ministry.
Right.
I thought, all right, great. I'll come listen to you on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how we've treated church.
Default button.
Yeah. And it's just what we've been taught.
Right.
And I believe that God is in the process of flipping that all upside down. And I'm not saying the destruction of the church. I'm every
right,
Sunday.
Right.
I'm going to, I say every Sunday, I'm very consistent in my church attendance. And I believe in the gathering of the body together. And I believe that he's called pastors and teachers to lead and to feed us. But I think it's ultimately our part to go out daily to advance the kingdom and look for those opportunities. And so part of what we're doing through Boom is giving guys language to be able to go out and say, hey, man, just so you know, if you talk to me for more than 10 minutes, you're going to hear Jesus come out of me. That's just who I am. That's how he's wired me.
Right.
And so I'm going to operate out of these principles. I just want you to know that.
Yes, sir.
You don't have to believe what I believe.
Right.
But I just want you to know where I come from.
Yeah, these are the values that drive my decision making.
And it's an easy way to segue into a conversation or, hey, we're in the ministry. We just happen to build homes. or we're in the ministry. We just happen to do this. And so we want to advance the kingdom of God through what we do on a daily basis. But I think first, before you can even begin to do that, I think you have to begin to truly follow and trust the Lord.
Oh yeah, bro.
Because like back to what you were talking about with fundraising, I took it out of my hands because initially God called me to fund the initial parts of Boom.
100%.
And then it's like he took that off of me because I had to know that this was his, not mine.
Right.
And he was going to fund it. If it was his, then he would fund it.
Yeah.
And what's he doing? He's funding it.
Right.
Right. He's got the people. He's changed their hearts, or he's not changed, but positioned their hearts.
He's raising up some new people too.
Yeah.
It's both. And yeah.
And I think that, you know, at the end of the day, the biggest thing that I want in this episode specifically,
right,
is the idea of follow.
It's good.
Follower. Mm-hmm. Are you a follower of the Lord? A true follower.
Right.
And two things that have happened to me recently. I got convicted of this question probably a year ago. I was talking to my boy Jay Long.
Yeah.
And
Jay Long film.
Yeah. Hey.
Shout out.
And by the way, I'm going to give a shameless plug. Is that what they call
it? Yeah,
that?
But it's all right. It's a shout out, though. Yeah, it's a shout out. Definitely a shout out.
Hey,
for sure.
He just launched a new album called Jamie, J-A-I-M-E. And that thing is awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He got some bangers on there.
Yeah, he announced the 6-8 Summit.
He's so talented.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah. He announced at the 6-8 Summit that he was going to start making music again. The Lord had called him to it. And since then, that was October. We're now into June, heading into July.
Yep.
And he's released three albums.
That's crazy.
Since it crazy. took him 1 week to record this one album that we got going right now, or these guys going right now that just released. But, man, you talk about it's not in any kind of, like, it's Christian, 100%. Right. It's about Jesus. The J-A-I-M-E, yeah. Try that again, stands for Jesus Absolutely Is My Everything.
That's good, yeah.
And, man, it's just a fun album. So he and I were talking about a venture that he was looking at doing, mm-hmm. a business venture. And he was talking about the partner, and I just asked the question, hey, is he a believer? And he goes, yeah, I think he's a believer, and it's a pretty well-known guy. And he goes, I think he's a believer. And I said, and the Holy Spirit convicted me at that moment, and he wanted me to re-ask the question. And I said, let me re-ask that. Is he a follower? And I think there's a big difference between being a believer and a follower.
Oh, yeah, the devil believes in God, bro.
I think we're done.
Yeah, right there. I mean, the devil, hey, yeah, I mean, come on, man. That's real G stuff right there. You know what I mean? Like, believing in something. I believe this chair will hold me up.
Sure.
I mean, I believe that the sky's blue.
Right.
But I'm saying, you're on something there. Follower.
So are you a follower?
Yes, bro.
And I just recently had the opportunity to, and these are things that, you know, I never thought in a million years I'd be doing, but I got invited by a church on the Rock here in town.
Yeah, men's conference,
to do a men's breakfast.
Okay.
And speak at it. And I woke up that morning and I always just allow Holy Spirit to lead me through what do you want to talk about today? You know, like what's on your agenda? And as soon as I woke up, I just heard follower. Follower. And so he wanted me to talk about this whole idea of being a follower.
Right.
And I think it's going to lead into several conversations that we're going to get into regarding idols. We've touched on it a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, there's a difference between being a believer and a follower. And my buddy Todd, I was telling him about this and just the revelation that I felt like I got out of that. And he goes, yeah, Jesus, you know, and it dawned on him. And he said, yeah, Jesus didn't go up to those fishermen early, Peter and John and those guys, and say, hey, drop your nets and believe in me.
That's right.
He said, drop your nets and follow me.
What did he say? Yeah.
Follow me. Basically, die to yourself. Mm-hmm. Die to your own agenda. Die to your kingdom. Die to what you believe. And are you willing to actually follow me?
Yeah.
And he put that out a lot. Right. The rich young ruler. There's one of my favorite scriptures has become, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head.
Right, right.
And I'm like, what does that mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, but there's some depth.
But there's a lot to that.
Oh, dude.
And he led me through that, and there's some depth, man.
Well, here's the thing, you know, let's contextualize this conversation.
Yep.
Today's day and age, for me to come to somebody that's a grown man already, you know, establishing their life and put the ask out there, hey, man, come follow me. In today's translation, that's that's the ultimate ask. Mm-hmm. That's even more graphic than asking for money. Mm-hmm. Because what that person is hearing is, oh, you want me to realign my whole life and come be a protege and you're going to mentor me? Which really is interesting, because I zoom out. The first thing I thought about when you were going there was this, man, the social media, man, like Instagram and TikTok, not even Facebook. It's really IG, Twitter, and TikTok. Those three social media platforms are explosive. The data is crazy. And what people are now doing on those platforms and how it's making them money and giving them more influence and more followers, pun intended. But the principle at work of being, of following something or somebody really is the ultimate ask. It's ultimate. And it's crazy to me that you zoom back to the Bible in the days of Jesus, and now we're seeing even then how big of a deal it was. It's a big deal even now. But I wonder how many folks actually understand and see that, because our lives are, people are giving their lives to this. They scroll and scroll, and all what they buy, how it influences what they do.
Yeah,
it's really profound, man.
Well,
when
and
you
I,
think about it.
It is, and I think about, you know, a follower. A follower is going to leave everything.
Yeah.
We're going to leave everything.
Yeah.
Like, and it's a big ask.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think if we can wrap our head around that, I think we've had a lot of believers. I think there's a lot of believers out there. And he had to wreck me of that I wasn't a follower, even though I felt like I was. Like, I don't think I was all in. There was still things that were eating me up.
Right.
And they were idols. And so as I went on this 40-day pause, and I'll never forget it, I'll give you a glimpse just a little bit. A friend called me. There was a deal at Beaten Bow, Kingdom at Work, going on. We've been to that powerful conference for business leaders. Yep. And if you have not done that or you haven't heard of it, man, there's people that come in from all over the country to do that deal. And it's impactful.
Yep.
So there's a guy from the Netherlands that's there. And becomes a mutual acquaintance. This guy calls me and he's like, hey, what are you doing at 4 o'clock today? This guy wants to meet you. Mm. I believe there's a divine appointment that needs to happen. And I was like, man, I've nothing on my schedule. I can be there. And so I show up and he goes, hey, I'm going to tell you this guy's prophetic. Now, my background, we didn't talk about the prophetic. We didn't talk about some of these gifts that are absolutely going on. Mm-hmm. and we just didn't talk about those kind of things. And so this is kind of a little bit, you know, I'm like, all right, you know, but I've grown in my faith, and the Lord's been kind to slowly walk me through these stages, you know. And he goes, I'm going to tell you this guy's prophetic. That's all you need to know. And I was like, okay. So he looks at me and he goes, what do you do for a living? And I was like, man, I've got a home building business, and we've got an Orange City Fitness, and we've got, you know, a new outdoor company, and, you know, we got a ministry called Boom. And he looked at me and he goes, you an anxious person? And I go, no. Yeah.
Yep.
I sure am. And he goes, the Lord's telling me right now, you need to pause. And I go, man, that's confirmation. I got real excited. And he goes, I'm not done. And I was like, man, a guy, who is this dude, you know?
Right.
And so it sent me into this, and he gave me some more. And, man, he was right on point with everything.
Right.
This dude's from the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Never met me in my life. And I'm like, all right, this is the real deal, you know? Yeah, and so it sends me into this pause, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in this pause, the first thing the Lord said to me was, be still and know that I am God.
Mm-hmm.
He began to teach me what following actually looks like.
Mm.
I literally got a new phone during that pause. Like, nobody had my number. I think you had my number.
Yep.
I think Jay Long had my number, and then my immediate family had my number.
Right.
And that was about it. And I completely separated myself, and he said, be still and know that I am God. Well, I've never done a drug in my life. It's always been this, like, kind of pride point for me. I was always this good kid. I've never done a drug, you know, all these kind of things. And
sure.
A kind of rich young ruler type mentality, you know? I'm good.
All the big sins.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, But he taught me. I was a massive drug addict, and the drug was business.
Wow.
And dude, I got my highs off of it. I got my lows. I got withdrawals. I got all these things. Sure. And so when I didn't have that phone and I had no control over what was happening in three different businesses and I had no idea, boy, you talk about getting wrecked.
Yeah.
Real quick, of idols, the idol of control, the idol of money, the idol of reputation.
Right.
Like these idols that nobody talks about, but they were 100% all there. And there was one night I was walking. We had just moved into a new house, and me and Brandy were walking our dogs. And we don't do that very often. We probably should more. But we were taking them out, and it was late at night. And I'm not a stargazer. Like, that's not just – I don't – you know, occasionally I'll look up and, you know. But right, I don't really think about it.
Right.
And the Lord whispered in. He said, look at the stars. And so I look up, and that night, dude, they are beaming. I mean, they are, like, bright. They're shining. And he said, I placed every single one of those in its place.
That's good.
Don't you think I can take care of your business?
Yeah, bro.
And I began to think, I was like, oh, man, here we go. And he slowly began to teach me what it meant to be a follower.
Yeah.
And as I was going through these withdrawals and all these challenges.
Yeah.
And then he said to me, probably the most authoritative thing I think I've ever heard the Lord say to me. And at the same time, the most freeing thing. And he said to me, I'm God and you're not. As I was freaking out and trying to maintain control and all these different things. And do you trust me? Are you willing to follow me?
Right.
I'm God and you're not.
Right.
And I think we know those kind of things here.
Yeah.
But I don't think our mentality is always that. I think we think we got to go create. Western culture has taught us if you want to make it happen, you got to go make it happen.
Yeah.
But scripture actually says God does all things.
Yes, right.
And he walks us through the doors, and he shapes our path, and he all the things. And so I think as we go into this season, that's going to be a major talking point.
Right.
Is this idea of being a follower.
Major plug, yeah. That's good. That's good.
And the idea, I could go on and on and on.
Well, I mean, it's a teaser, but it's also kind of a reminder. I think it has kind of a duality to it. Okay, follower. Yeah, I know what the Bible says about that. A lot of guys in our audience, man, have heard thousands plus sermons on that probably. Mm-hmm. But it's the constant reminder of that's what we're called to be. And that position or that posture requires a lot of humility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these guys, Boom Houston, just kind of for example, it's been interesting to see who God's raising up for like that work, but also who God prepared for it
ahead of
beforehand.
Time.
Yeah, it really, 100%. And it's kind of these two things happening. And we really didn't even, you know, nobody from Boom Lubbock or from Boom came to Houston and said, hey, can we launch Boom there? No, there was a church that actually asked us about it. Mm-hmm. They caught wind of it. And, the rest of it is up to God. Mm-hmm. So even with this ministry, this platform, we're just following God with it. God, whatever you want to do, you know, and then we'll kind of, you know, like Steve says, the door, if God presents it, walk up to it. What did you
say?
Shake
the handle.
Yeah.
Jiggle the handle.
If it opens up, walk through it. If not, then just walk away.
Go to the next door.
And don't be offended, right? Yeah. Don't be upset. And so that's the attitude we kind of carry with this vehicle, with this ministry called Boom. And I think it's funny. Not in the ha-ha, but like in the very like, wow, that's really interesting when God brings these things out front that we think we're so mature and so well-versed in. And even if we are well-versed in it, it's a reminder and it's kind of a recalibration of, hey, your vision actually needs to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's the healthiest thing for us. I think that we ought to be really mindful of that, you know, idols and positioning. And in a minute, you know, we're going to get into that. The next episode, we'll talk about idolatry and and what is it really that God is doing, you know, in the conversation. Folks hear that and say, oh, well, you know, it's worshiping this. And well, yeah, but for Christians, it looks different. You know,
it does.
It looks different. And a lot of times, we don't even know it's even there.
Yeah,
we call it one thing, but it's something else. So I think a follower, a true follower of Jesus, man, who owns a business, who has influence, man, we can't do anything without first saying, God, where are you in this? Mm-hmm. And usually the guys who have done it for a while, who have had success in it, they had the bumpiest roads. It's like, they just learned so much, right? And then even you.
It ain't going to be easy.
Bro, the great quote, God didn't give you a business to become a slave to that business, right? That's right. That came out of, man, something that God showed you. And then even now, still teaching you.
Still teaching me. Yeah.
So it's really profound in that way.
Yeah. You know,
it's crazy.
There's something that our pastor on the teaching team here at Hillside taught me one time, and it stuck with me forever. He said, Jesus never said, go clean up, then come follow me.
Hmm.
He said, just come follow me.
Right.
Come as you are.
Mm-hmm.
Come as you are and follow me.
Yeah.
And I think that's step one. I think you got to come as you are.
Right.
And then once you show up, then he begins to just shape you and mold you and remove the things. So I'm going to end on this. There's a lot of things I think we could continue talking about. And I think these things are going to come up because the Lord's taught me a lot over the last year.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that's really been hammered home in me is this idea of God uses silver and gold a lot to describe what we are and who we are to him. And I went on this deep dive like today, and I don't know, I say a deep dive. I went on a deep dive on one side. I think you can go get silver in the ore today and they can take it, they can put it in a machine. And then within X amount of time, it's not very long.
Right.
It's all polished up and it's pretty and it's in a block and it looks really good, right?
Right.
And it's this microwave mentality that we have that's like, fix it now, get it done now, all this kind of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think God's process with us is very slow.
Totally.
And it takes time because we have to continue depending on him, because if we don't, then we become, in essence, our own God, a little g God, and that's bad theology.
Right.
And ultimately, we're called to depend on him. And so I looked up, and I'd encourage you to go do this. Go Google silver in the ore. Ore. And it is a nasty looking thing. Like how anybody saw that and was like, I bet there's something good in there. And you look it up and it's just nasty and it's rocky
silver
and it's jagged.
In the ore.
Silver in the ore.
Okay.
So go look that up. And then you know what a silver bar looks like, right? And so I looked up what the process was in ancient times for silver to be purified, to become this good piece of silver, right?
Yep.
And so the silversmith would take it, he'd heat something up really, really, really hot. He'd put that rock in there. It would melt down. All the bad stuff would rise to the top. Mm-hmm. He'd scrape that off as the dross,
purification,
right?
Purification, bro.
Yep.
Lord have mercy.
And then it'd have to harden again.
Right.
And then he'd put it back in through the heat. And then he'd pull it off.
Yikes.
And he'd go through this process for a long period of time.
Right.
But how the silversmith knew that the silver was pure as he saw his reflection back in the silver. And at that point, he knew that the silver had been purified.
Yeah.
And I think that's our journey with Christ.
Good, yeah.
Is like, he's going to keep purifying. He's going to keep taking you through this affliction, through these tests, through these hard times, through these challenges, so that he can remove all that nasty sin and idols and all that junk we have in our lives, so that he can purify us and see his reflection. And when he sees his reflection,
Boy,
game over.
And bro, it's a slow, timely, methodical process. That's what I'm hearing as we, you know, kind of turn the page on this one. It's a lot of, man, bro, sermons are preached about this all the time, you know, and it sounds real cute.
Yeah.
And it sounds real empowering and real good from the pulpit. But really, to somebody who has lived that life, and every one of us know a few people who truly have been through the fire of affliction in their lifetime. Most of them are older because, again, it takes time. Mm-hmm. It's a methodical, and it's also a very intentional process. Then God is really, when you let him do it, when you let him in, and when your life is really submitted to the Lord, which is a reminder that I'm laughing because it's like, God's been nudging me the last year. Is this thing really yours? Is my kids are growing? Watch your kids grow up.
Mm-hmm.
And you see what they need, and you begin to develop as a parent a vision frame for what that kid needs. Oh, he's good at baseball or whatever, football. You know, Jaren right now, man, is because same with Graham, is the oldest child, and he's very talented in the game of baseball, very athletic.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jaren is my oldest child. He's 8, He's bigger for eight. He's super. He's strong.
Yep.
He's getting stronger and he's doing things. I'm like, man, boy, what in the world? Like, not even physical things alone, but he's, you know, articulating.
Yeah.
And he's doing. And so we are in this process, and it's really, it's hard to not want to, you know, mess with it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because, like, no, let God do it. You know, let God do it. And, you know, be a responsible dad and parent, but let God do it.
Yeah.
And allow him to do it. So it's, as we go through this, man, that's a challenge for the men and the mamas and dads is, hey, you know, what an analogy, bro. Thank you for sharing that, man, and bringing it to the forefront. Silver. Hey,
that's the Lord, man.
I know, man. It's just like, good, though. But, you know, it's necessary, too.
You want to hear something, and it's Isaiah 48:10, mm-hmm. and it says, see, I've refined you.
Right.
I've refined you. Though not as silver. So on this one, he's actually saying, it's even deeper than that. I've tested you in the furnace of affliction.
Lord have mercy.
Golly.
Preach all day.
And you're like, all right. And sometimes I think we can take that one verse and be like, all right, he's for my good and all these things.
Dangerous ground, bro.
Yeah.
It's not safe.
But then you got to read verse 11.
Right.
And he says, for my own sake.
Yeah.
For my own sake, I do this. I take you through the furnace of affliction. I take you, I refine you for my own sake.
Bro,
for my own sake, it's for his glory.
The call to discipleship, people are, I feel like out here in the church, being duped sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah.
Bro, again, one of these moments, B.O.B., in the camera. Funny but not funny, this thing ain't safe. This thing, the furnace of affliction, really?
Yeah.
Like, really? Like, that's, yeah, man, like, it's been painful. And if we're being honest about it, I mean, we're still young, dude.
Oh, yeah.
And, man, our 30s, me and Shelly went through a lot. It was, like, hard, bro. Full-time ministry in church, seeing all kind of stuff. And that's when I realized, man, God was calling me out of the church staff world, you know. And I'm glad he did, bro, for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
But one of the reasons is that, yeah, man, this thing is what we were seeing people go through.
Go make disciples.
It's hard.
That was his command. Go make disciples, bro. Right?
It's hard, yeah.
And I think, you know, to wrap this up and put a bow on it.
Yeah.
Are you willing to be a follower? Are you willing to go through the affliction? Are you willing to, that whole foxes have dens, it's a Pharisee that comes up to him.
Mm-hmm.
Or a scribe. There's one or two, right? But a teacher of the law.
Yeah.
No doubt runs up and says, I'll follow you. I'll follow you wherever you go. And I love it. Jesus was not a let's go kind of guy. He wasn't like, let's go, you know, there's another one. He wasn't counting people.
Boy,
he wasn't doing any of that.
That's what I'm saying.
He looks at the dude and he goes, hey, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Basically, this is what the Lord laid. I was like, what does that mean? And I went on a deep dive, like either study or prayer.
Right,
and I asked the Holy Spirit, man, tell me what that meant.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like that's a dude part. I feel like that was good insight. He's not like, yeah, let's go. I feel like he was a G. Man, Jesus was gangster, bro. Well, I feel like if you do that to him, he leaned back and like look at you.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I feel like was happening, bro. Yeah. I feel like there wasn't a whole lot of like jumping in. The only time we see him rejoicing like that in that way is when the disciples came back in Luke 10 from seeing all the miracles, signs, and wonders that he had commissioned them two by two.
Yeah.
The 70 were sent out. That's the only time we see him doing like, let's go.
Excited,
And even in that moment, I feel like he was more like a coach, not a cheerleader.
Yeah. Keep going.
Hey.
Yeah. You've seen it.
W. Yeah. Yeah. Stop. Hey, don't stop moving.
Yeah.
Keep it moving.
Keep it moving.
Keep it pushing.
Yeah.
That's the kind of God that we serve.
Yeah.
And I feel like fun, humbling, and very satisfying that boom, rewarding is a better word, not satisfying. Boom is a ministry. If you're out there, you know, and we got friends all over the world, boom is a ministry. It's a vehicle designed to do just that.
Yeah.
We're not here trying to pump you up and cheerlead you and make you all want to coach you and spur you on to great things in the Lord, but do it from a way that's actually real and authentic. That's the hope. And so, are you a follower?
Are you a believer?
Which one are you?
Which one are you?
Examine that. Good stuff.
If you liked what you heard today on the Epicenter, be sure and click that subscribe button down below and click the bell so that you're notified whenever we drop new content. Also, be sure to connect with us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. And know that you can find all of our episodes on your favorite platform, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. Now go out, be the epicenter of the boom.